Good evening. Last time, a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at the four opponent powers, the skillful means by which to purify your mind from past negativities, and through the application of the four opponent powers, to bring about a change to one's current and future behavior. So the four opponent powers are the power of regret, the power of the antidote, the power of restraint, and the power of power of reliance. So these four opponent powers, we looked at two of them completely and started with the third. So we looked at the power of regret, which whilst one can generate the opponent powers in any sequence, the power of regret is of particular importance. To the extent that one generates this, the others will come about more naturally. So one recalls specific non-virtues that one has done and recognizes the suffering result that will befall you, that you will have to experience. And that leads to a sense of regret, a wish I had not done that. And one could take this further, think of other non-virtues one has done in this life and lives previous and generate strong regret. Then we looked at the power of the antidote. And so the antidote can be any opposing virtuous mind. So it can be engaging in meditation on bodhicitta or on emptiness. It can be reciting of mantras such as the Mani Mantra or any other virtuous means, of which a number were mentioned in the text. And then we came to look at the power of turning away from further faults, what often called the power of the promise or the power of restraint, where one develops a mind of restraint, where in the future I will refrain from engaging in this again. One makes this commitment, I will no longer act in this way. So these were, we looked at two of the four opponent powers. We came to the power of restraint to complete, and that's still the power of reliance to follow. So continuing where we concluded last week, which is near the bottom of page 146. So part way through, the power of turning away from further faults. A fourth line from the bottom. The commentary on the Vinaya Sutra explains that the intention of the question, will you refrain from them in the future, asked in the scriptural passage, is that a confession without a sincere mind of restraint is nothing but words.
And then Dilia Shia Tavani Dumsim may be Shakwa Tisum no draw a conies, 지다당 언제 친제 다우인의 지금에 샘비게 좀 샘샘 딩네 시에타반의 샘 딩네다 두시는 삼고월에 좀 자우자우 지금에 샘비게 좀 샘 기고월에 제사 되네게 좀 샘 게메나 마제와체 안에 되네게 안에 저기 어 샤화 제베네 다 변형하는 저기 이기하러 좀 받아 동화셔로 동샤라서 받인지 좀 바이네 아니 칸이 좀 받 친구 직접도 조그레 마도 안에 될이야 안지게 에 가시 에 디바다에게 개와톱 친구 차고 말해서 쓴 거래 지난 시에 타반에 좀씩 매배 샤비 샤파 직접도 줘 공 직접도 줘래 직접 마도 이게 대톱시 나래다 녀발라 날 날도비 톱시 톱치 선거 말와 되는 자데 어두시네 에 직접 마도 되는 녀바 도비게다 디바샤에게 톱치상 상황에 차고 말해서
we'll work from what we have in the English at the end of the sentence, working our way forward. So the Tibetan starts with, without a sincere mind of restraint, without a sincere mind of restraint is nothing but words. So what this is stating is that one's restraint or this promise, I will not engage in this non-virtue again, I will not repeat this way of acting or speaking or even thinking, this needs to be sincere. It needs to arise from the very depths of your heart. A deep, heartfelt commitment, I will not do that again. I'm turning away from such behavior, I will not do it again. If that sincere mind of restraint is absent, then what one has engaged in terms of an antidote, it could be a recitation of the 100-syllable Vajrasattva mantra, or a sutta recitation, whatever it may be, that recitation will be nothing but mere words, because it's not coming, being recited in a heartfelt way. One's confession itself is actually nothing but words. Then, starting with the beginning of the sentence, the commentary on the Vinaya Sutra explains that the intention of the question, will you refrain from them in the future, asked in the scriptural passage, is that a confession without a sincere mind of restraint is nothing but words. So this refers to the sutra quotation is from the ordained bi-weekly or fortnightly process of accumulation and purification in Tibetan Sozhen. So this process of accumulation and purification at one specific point, the question is asked to each ordained person, will you ever do this again? And then the reply is, I will never do this again. Or to go with the text, will you refrain from them in the future? And the reply is, I will never do this again. So this is a formula in the recitation manual. So there's a question that is posed, will you refrain from them in the future? And then there's a formulaic response, I will never do this again. If that is just that, a response, a formulaic response, then the restraint really is lacking. It is nothing but mere words. And all that one has done in this process of accumulation and purification is going to be meager in terms of its capacity to do anything in terms of purification, because the mind of restraint is lacking, or if it's present, it is so weak that it can be said to be lacking. So in this way, the expression, I will never do this again, would be nothing but mere words.
The
text continues, therefore, the resolve to refrain from doing it in the future is crucial. Text continues, though its development also depends on the first power. So what this is very clearly stating is that for one to have a mind of restraint, in other words, make this promise, I will not do this again, this is only going to come about independent on having generated regret through having seen the fault of what one has done, and recognizing that this will lead to suffering, and therefore a change in behavior is required. Such a foundation, this mind of regret, is indispensable for later the mind of restraint to arise. Emphasize the great importance of these opponent powers being sincere. And here we're specifically looking at the case of the mind of restraint that's turning away from further faults, that it needs to be sincere to actually have the impact to purify non-virtue. So if we take an illustration, if you get quite ill from eating something and you've identified what it was that you ate that led to you being sick, if you are very clear what it was, that either it was a food type that you perhaps have an allergy towards, or maybe at the place you ate, the hygiene standards weren't right, if you recognize that that is the cause that led to this unwanted suffering result, then you will turn away. You either will not go back to that restaurant, or you'll refrain from that particular food type. So this comes about, this change in behavior comes about, firstly, in recognizing what behavior led to a specific outcome, and recognizing I don't want that outcome again, therefore I will not create that cause. So, but for that final step of I will not create that cause to come about, one needs to, one, have recognized the cause, and two, have seen that the resultant loss or suffering is greater than any pleasure one takes in accumulating the cause. Otherwise, for example, staying with the illustration of food, one may well think, yeah, I possibly have an allergy to this food, but it's really tasty. So I'm going to eat it anyway, and I'll deal with the consequences tomorrow. And in that way, even then the next day when you're sick, you say, oh, I'll never eat it again. You may even mean it at the time. But when the suffering is past and the thoughts of that nice taste arise, then once again, one eats knowing the consequence. So here we see that one's restraint, really, it's not at all heartfelt. It's not at all sincere. But if one has generated sincere regret for what one has done, then the restraint will come easily. If the regret is strong and heartfelt, I never want to experience this again, then one will restrain oneself. So with regret, you generate this wish or this thought, I wish I'd never done this again. I wish I had never done this. And from that comes the power of restraint. I will never do so again. So then we come to the fourth of the four opponent powers, the power of reliance. So we looked at this when I did a brief overview last week of the four. So we'll come to it again now. I've just changed one word in the translation. The fourth of the four powers is the power of reliance, which is to go for refuge and meditate on bodhicitta. So it's power of reliance, or it can also be translated as the power of the basis or the power of the support. So this is the where one relies, or the basis upon which one relies, or the supporting force to which one turns when one generates the motivation to engage in purification. So one's supporting force or reliance are the minds of refuge and bodhicitta. So the supporting force, or where one turns for reliance, is the minds of refuge and bodhicitta. And as I've mentioned a few times, that the four opponent powers can be generated in any sequence. And in this presentation, the power of reliance is presented as the fourth. But in all likelihood, this is where someone will start. One sits down in order to engage in a purification practice. And one is almost certain to start with generating refuge and then the mind of bodhicitta. Thereafter, one is likely to generate regret, call to mind specific non-virtues that one has done, recognize the karmic consequences that will befall one in this and future lives, and thereby generates regret. Then at that point, one may immediately engage in accumulation of virtue as the antidote, and then generate restraint or in another order. In this way, the power of reliance is likely to be the first antidote or power one cultivates. In the context of a practice of the practices which are shared with a practitioner of initial capacity, this is a particularly important training, that of the four opponent powers. It is something that really from the outset of one's training, one needs to engage in repeatedly. And in your own daily practice, I encourage you to do this, and we spoke about this a bit last time, I'll talk again now. So we discussed in our very first year the preliminaries one engages in prior to every meditation session. So that involves the cleaning of your meditation place, setting up one's, arranging one's shrine, setting up some offerings, sitting comfortably, generating refuge and bodhicitta, visualizing the Buddhas and bodhisattvas, feeling the presence of the merit field, and then engaging in the seven limb prayer and mandala offering. And within that seven limb prayer is the process of purification, that of confession. Now, the seven limb prayer will start with the prostrations and offerings. So we've covered the seven limb prayer at the same time as when we looked at these six preliminaries. And there, the third of the seven limb prayer within the preliminaries is that of confession. And here, one is engaged in generating refuge and bodhicitta, and one is engaging in other antidotal powers, such as has laid out offerings and offerings of water bowls and flowers and incense. So here one can utilize that as a foundation or as a basis to engage in the rest of the purification practice. So in this way, one can and really should engage in purification practice on a daily basis.
Then ジェネタウンにジンメセンビゲトムセンセンディンネシタジェンジェムジェギュディラダンアソンゲトマレジテネタウドテレジュペニバスラジェムコンシュスムヨレセンベダマコワダンアソンゲトマレパーシチキチシゲバネペササレセンビゲテシェナラチキジナラギダテレタウドセンベタルジュケサンバキネテレキュベニバスウデュヨラセンケトコンシュスムヨレセンビゲサンダンデザダヨバザケミコンシュスムヨブリセンビゲイシシエデ だ、ジョムレセビ、ジョムレセビ、イシジエでカレス、ジュエスね、ティスドア、サンギー、ジェムネ、サンギー、マ、ジェムネコンシュソン、サンギー、コンシュオンジャギジュコンシュスムロア、ジェンサンギー、マドコル、ドマル、タイゲ、タブラムジテンヨアレス、タブラムジテンバディ、ソシュギ、タディテバ、タブラムテンバトル、ノルザオギネメ、メバレス、ティテマレス、ティテマレス、ノチュネメ、イシシアダ。だ、ディ、タブラムテンバディ、ソシュギ、ニャムン、ジェバイナ、
でね、どんぐらいの注意して、タルベコトップトグレー、センビギダ、どんぐらいの注意して、どんぐらいの注意して、で、ヤムネンチェバーイナ、ソシュギヤムネンチェバーイナ、テレテネ、タルベコトップトグレー、トバネ、どんぐらいの注意して、で、イシシアレ。でね、あの、デレンソシュギヤムネンチェバーイナ、ローディスウィジーズン、ケニングチョギ、ジェギリー、センビギダ、で、ロアヨマルセンビギダ、タジリシエセディダ、ギャムルディレダ、オンドゥスサムタイディレ、ギャムルシエサムタイディレダ。
So that is a way that in your general daily practice, one can include the purification process, and this can become a regular part of one's daily practice. But at any time, one can go for refuge, and therefore one can actually engage in purification practice, or at the very least familiarize oneself with the various topics we have already covered. So when one has some quiet time or chooses to make some quiet time, just sitting quietly, one can turn one's mind to the three jewels, call to mind or feel their presence of the Buddha and the Bodhisattvas around you. Recognize that where we are as ordinary beings is we're always in this precarious state that death can come at any time. And we do not know where our next rebirth will be, in the sense that it's not something within our choice. Our karma dictates for us where our next rebirth will be. So we recognize this precarious state that at any time death can come, and I do not have any certainty that my next rebirth will be as excellent as this one. This leads to some fear arising. And that fear then is an impetus to the question, where can I gain protection? Who can help me in this critical time? And there we turn our mind to the three jewels. We recall our great fortune at having created the causes to once again have met the Buddha, to be in the presence of this remarkable being who can, through his teachings, can guide us to gain a state of freedom. So by relying on the lived example of the Buddha, and thereby, through his teachings and cultivating them within us, we will be able to protect ourselves. Because to the extent we develop the teachings within, that is the great degree of protection that we have. And we have our companions in our spiritual journey, our role models, our spiritual teachers, who guide us to excellent rebirth, eventually liberation and enlightenment too. So in this way then, we call to mind the three jewels, and we do so with a recognition of our precarious situation, but that our situation is not at all hopeless. We have somewhere to turn for protection.
And the rangi pamadi rangi jin chisho de kitin chisho chagores. Jeza de jinza semjen tamje ta chedigi paman ashin jewangama ni kam pama mongbo chenyo de da nalaya jin chebo chedigi pamada jin chiba chawal me semjen tamje da jin chebo re sempeke samda. Dene samda ne semjen tamje rangi jin chebo de da ni soso le tu tando yakbo cheba da pale ni de roba chu. Machine taking me to chicken, some big some diet, Jinso was Chagurua. On the next some diet in it, and simply at Mjeda, they are Duba and the same janitor, they were the dinner, temper show, same big daddy, they are never be there was a mind, but then you there were Tardu, they were the Dingo to temper show, same big some diet. They see that in it, same janitor, not do one and travel to Chitada, can it some time in there, same jan, so you know that do one may hand you, Minus. Then you are either to know that you are here, but you want to meet some time in there, and the chicken among you eating it, just not doing a year, but Janjade, Hala Samna, doing a year, and just in general, doing other deparish, doing other travel, simply doing a travel show, simply need to come. Then you come there, that's in general, doing other travel, the gay chicken, that gay panto, the magenta, chicken with the gay chicken, that's in general, Tamdelia, that panto, chee, to panda, tarby, lamb, dee, and yamsuliake. The part, Yamaji, but the danger, and don't want to drag a tablum to get danger on the Yamsu Lenjuja, and some gentleman you could do not tell a treasure, Nissan gets a green, simply get last some distinct some time. The next some done him, the exam and some jatam jigger turner. That's that then only at any good to your new book. I am in the dinners at that. Tell it, Greg, new but the solution, Sanji Ponarish, just another Sanji Matu Mindu, yet that's some jigger danger.
When one turns for refuge in this way, or for protecting refuge in this way, especially where one has gone through the meditation process in the way I'm describing, where one does generate a sense of a recognition of one's precarious situation, leading to a sense of fear. And then one recognizes, but I do have support. I do have those who provide the guidance that will keep me safe. I have a protecting refuge. This then leads to a change in how one feels. From a recognition of our precarious state to feeling supported, feeling protected. Then one lifts one's gaze, recognizing so there are so many beings, countless beings, and they are actually in a state even more precarious than I am. Whilst I may be just a breath away from a new rebirth, potentially in the lower realms, countless beings do not have the protecting refuge that I do. So therefore, their situation is, on one hand, as precarious as mine, but actually, they are in a more pitiful situation. And these beings, at a fundamental level, are no different from me. We may look very different. We may still be human beings, but we live in different cultures and societies, have different outer circumstances, or we may even be different beings. Animals, spirits, and so forth. But we all want to be happy. No one wants to experience suffering. And despite this wish, due to the deep ingrained ignorance, beings, myself included, keep creating the causes for suffering as opposed to the causes for happiness. So these beings are in a position as precarious as I am, but without protecting refuge. I need to help them. I cannot neglect them, because it's not like I have no relationship to these beings. Some are my kind parents from this life. Others are my dear friends and family. And especially when I look more broadly over my life, at various points, my best friends, my close confidants at various points in my life, these people are all in this precarious situation. And when I think more broadly, and I recognize our deep interconnection. I'm not an independent entity. All the good that I have right now and that I've enjoyed throughout this and previous lives has come about in dependence on others. My kind parents who cared for me when I was so vulnerable, my teachers and educators, those who, through their endeavors, they were either as an example or teachings, have guided me to develop all the good qualities I have. Those who materially sustain me through providing the material resources, food and so forth that I enjoy, as well as those who are the recipients of my virtuous endeavors and thereby enable me to accumulate merit. Not only my good qualities, but my merit has all come about in dependence on others. I cannot neglect them. I cannot just go for refuge looking for my own protection and thereby strive for my own individual liberation. I cannot do that. These beings are in a precarious situation. I have a good connection with many of them. I need to help them. I need to utilize the relationship I have with them to guide them to a state of freedom. This is my responsibility. The same way I want to gain security and certainty about my future rebirths, so do they. The same way as I want to be free from all suffering, so too do they. This is my responsibility, and I accept that responsibility, but I recognize my grave limitations. I'm just an ordinary being. I have to become a Buddha. I have to become a being worthy of others turning towards for protecting refuge, so that I can fulfill their hopes to attain a state of lasting happiness. Therefore, I will become a Buddha for the sake of all beings.
On this some time, the Dingy Topsy, Topsin, and the Dingy Topsam Dowry, Dingy Topsuore.
So, this then is how one generates the opponent power of reliance or the support. Yeah, one is generated in this particular meditation, the first opponent power, that of the opponent power of reliance. So with this commitment to become a Buddha for the sake of others that one has generated, one then generates a clear recognition. In order to become a Buddha, I have to purify all trace of fault from my mind so that the good qualities I'm trying to develop can shine through, and in this way will eventually arise as a Buddha. But I have to apply myself to purify my mind from non-virtue and changing the way I think, speak, an act. If I don't do so, or to the extent that I do not do so, I will be creating the causes to suffer. I may even end up falling into the lower realms. And certainly, I will not spiritually develop and thereby continue to lack the capacity to have a meaningful impact on others. In other words, I will not be able to fulfill this aspiration of bodhicitta that I have generated. So that then serves as a powerful impetus to bring about change to one's mind. One adds to this by reminding oneself, I've actually done so much harm to these kind beings. On some instances, I've done so intentionally. I've hurt them, I've taken advantage of them, I've added to their burden of suffering. This is not the kind of person I want to continue to be. I make this commitment. I will not harm anymore. One here can call to mind the kinds of behavior one does, where one's self-cherishing is dominating, one's putting one's own needs before, and in this way, we have brought hurt into others. And we recognize that in these instances, I've not acted in accordance with the Dharma. I haven't followed the example of the Buddha or of my Sangha companions. So therefore, I've gone against my refuge. I've gone against my commitment of bodhicitta. And I've hurt my other beings. Here, a deep sense of regret arises. And in this process of thought, one will be recalling specific instances. And in this way, one is generating deep and abiding regret. So we've gone from one opponent power, that of reliance, into the second opponent power, that of regret.
अने दिवादी के नॉर्थ चौंशा देने तादेंगे दिवादी सेम दिन दिवादी निगे रूबी देने दिवादी शागी संभेदा जब युवी दिन लिया देंगे शागी संदेगे देने के समदान समदान जे तादी समदान देने के समदान ने शागी संभेदा शाया के दुन्दा लिया ता सुसु कीजो चुदे नम्बी ना तो ता
Having generated regret, which followed the generation of bodhicitta and refuge, one is now in the presence or feels in the presence of the three jewels. So one confesses to them and one does so sincerely from one's heart. And now one wants to purify. One wants to purify one's mind so that that way of thinking that led to the self-centered behavior will either at best no longer arise, or if it does, one will not be deceived by it, one will not continue to act in accordance with it. So therefore, to purify, one engages in an antidotal power. So here, in a similar way to what I advised a fortnight ago, one can engage in one's daily recitations, whichever commitments one has. One can engage them in those recitations, but within the overarching envelope of the four opponent powers. So the recitation of your daily commitments can serve as the antidote because they are being done, having generated regret, having generated refuge and bodhicitta.
Give you Dinyamukundu chakuye dida, nyamukundu chivye top chakore. Dinashin, de diva shakin samje, di dhanda shakin samje, dine susurarangi da, jike meni chaya tang, ane yike saya la soba da, dine chepe ne, nyamukundu chivye top. Dine diva shakin samje, dine di dhanda liya, shakin dhanda liya, ane pungpo sumpe to, tunga shakwa la sumpe songa, mdushin chasa dhunba ina, nandi yanji nyamukundu chivye top chakore. Dinashinda, tongyo kumba. Tomani
So in this way, whilst the one's daily recitation of one's commitments carries great meaning, here one's adding to the meaning of that recitation. Because you definitely will have spent some time then made some offerings, generated refuge and bodhicitta, and generated regret for past non-virtue. And now as a means of purification, one can recite one's commitments. It may be included in your commitments, or you could add to that, perhaps the recitation of the Vajrasattva 100-syllable mantra, or the Mani mantra, or engage in a confession to the 35 Buddhas, or a meditation on a topic such as emptiness, or further meditation on bodhicitta. And in this way, one is not only accumulating great merit, but one is specifically purifying as well.
Mm. Ah, Lucien, then you mock on the chip of said Lucien. The latter, the she could not change your sem, we came to the Kuno some diet, the Kuno did ten you top the Chagon. Then you ten you top China, that Dibushai, Dondala, and change your sem Gomiadi, that young Nimbut of Chagor, which is answer your sem Gomiala, Nimbut of Yungore. There was Nimbut of your dread, continue to Niga Yonadua. The she could not change your sem some day, ten you top chair. Ini tipu saya gitu, anda lihat yang sistem dan ini juga kembali ke, anda ni pun top cekor ya. Di nasional dan juga, ini kita jauh itu ni dah apa, tipu saya itu, ini tipu saya itu, sanjir, kipsum le, tempat itu ada tinggi top. Yang di tipu saya itu tinggi top, cahro itu ada tinggi top, cahro itu ada ni. Jadi tinggi top saya di, tipu saya ni mungkin lo tinggi, kurang lo sampai, jadi kaya siapa. この街。で、あ、じゃあ、下雨雨天、下雨雨了吧、天気天下で、あ、でね、ちょこやち、もうそば。しなだで、どうしてね。で、感じで、じゃあ、ゆせんごみやてら、じゃあ、ゆせんだで、天気をとぶれしゃどう。あんだで、にんべとぶかね、ちゃぎれせんべ、さむんごろは。しなだで、じゃあ、ゆせん、天気とぶせやで、この、じゃんじゅうせん、じゅうやで、天気とぶれしゃごれ。だでね、ティバシャイ、どんだで、じゃあ、ゆせん、この街、この街、じゅうせん、ゆくねやなん。
opponent power the antidote. There, you can meditate, you can engage in any virtuous activity that draws you. That virtuous activity serves as the antidote. So one may well meditate on bodhicitta then, and the meditation on bodhicitta serves as your antidote because one would have just meditated on regret, and so your meditation on bodhicitta will serve to purify the non-virtue that you have generated regret for. But prior to generating regret, you would also have gone for refuge and generated bodhicitta. So then, the doubt may come, hang on, if I've generated refuge and bodhicitta, those are two virtuous minds, and then I've generated regret. Those two virtuous minds of refuge and bodhicitta, couldn't they just be the antidote? And then I can skip the antidotal step entirely, because in fact it comes together with that of the power of reliance. Well, there is some validity in what's been said, but if one's antidotal power is going to be the meditation on refuge or the meditation on bodhicitta, one should engage in the meditation again. Because the power of reliance, or maybe a better translation is the power of support, because this is the very motivation that supports the entire purification practice. They're going for refuge, recognizing the precarious situation one is in, and therefore turning for protecting refuge to the three jewels. Then one expands our field of vision to incorporate all sentient beings and regenerate bodhicitta. This then is the motivation for our meditation. Then one generates regret in the way that I described, and regret can also be generated in relation to the support, in that by accumulating non-virtue, we've gone against the teachings, we've gone against the example that of the teacher. And moreover, we've acted in a way that hurts others and has delayed our spiritual development. So it's gone against our aspiration for bodhicitta. So therefore, regret, it relates to the motivation, the power of reliance that preceded it. Thereafter, when one engages in the antidotal power, if one chooses to meditate on, say, bodhicitta, one then again cultivates bodhicitta, meditating perhaps more extensively on love and on compassion and on our relationship with all beings and their kindness and so forth. So in this way, I hope it's clear that in terms of the first antidote, that of the support or reliance, there one will generate refuge in bodhicitta, but it's purpose is as the support for the entire purification practice. And then if the antidote is going to be a meditation on refuge or bodhicitta, one would engage in that meditation again as the antidotal power. And as I mentioned a couple of times, one can incorporate within these four opponent powers the recitation of one's daily commitment as a antidotal power. And if you do so, then make sure you spend time cultivating the refuge and bodhicitta and regret components prior to that, and recite your daily commitments as the antidotal power. But still, you can incorporate additional antidotal powers such as meditating on bodhicitta or emptiness and so forth. And then, when one has concluded that part of that opponent power, that of the antidote, one concludes with the thought, I have purified. I have purified this negativity from my continuum. And here, intentionally generates a joyous mind, a sense of relief. This burden of suffering that was awaiting me, that particular part of it has been purified. This has been time well spent, and I have lightened my own load of non-virtue. And I will make the commitment, I will not engage in such non-virtue again. I've gone to this trouble, I've purified some non-virtue, and I am not going to add to my store of non-virtue. I will refrain from engaging in further non-virtue. I will turn away from further faults. And then this can be the final opponent power, that of turning away from further faults. So you see here, the sequence that are presented in this meditation is not the same sequence in the text, and you have flexibility there in terms of the sequence of the four opponent powers. But the four opponent powers themselves should all be generated.
Uh-huh. 그
what we see here in the text, this particular sequence that the four opponent powers is presented is a sequence to aid explanation, but it's not the sequence in which one will practice. So therefore, we see why, right at the outset of several chapters earlier in the text, at the very first meditation, was on the need to rely on a spiritual teacher. Because a teacher will, in an instance like this, explain that this is the sequence in the text is the sequence for explanation, but it's not the sequence for practice. And the sequence for practice is as I've advised. So therefore, it's important to rely on the teacher to bring the text to life and present it in a way that one can incorporate, that one can cultivate within. And the point that I just mentioned previously, that the need that when one has purified, to recognize that, and recognize, yes, I have purified. This needs to, like with regret, not just be a mere recognition. It actually needs to be heartfelt. You need to feel the sense of relief, the sense of, yes, this was time well spent. I have lightened my load of non-virtue. I have purified.
但是给我听的,我也听的也会,等我,给我的,也是,他把他们这些,比如说,有个毛特别是的,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有,有
And what's not mentioned, but one should conclude with it, is a dedication. And dedicates to the liberation from suffering for all beings, and that may all beings attain Buddhahood. And the way one dedicates can either be a recitation of verses, or it can be one's own individual expression, or a combination of the two. But what's important is that when one dedicates, it is also not just an expression of words, but your heart needs to be invoked. You need to be expressing, and your dedication needs to be an expression of what you feel in your heart. And again, you can do so by relying on established verses and or your own individual expression of dedication. We spent quite some time tonight and in our final session last time looking at these four opponent powers, and we spent time on it because it is something of great importance, and I really hope you do take this up.
And
This presentation of the four opponent powers is of great importance. And one thing that perhaps you've experienced is that as one moves through this text, each new chapter is presented through the reasons why it's so important, so as to encourage students to engage in those meditation topics. But very quickly, this can become overwhelming, thinking, how am I supposed to meditate on everything in this entire text? And therefore, we're moving through the text very slowly, so that as we move page by page, you have time to meditate on what is presented there, so you can build up skill in these various topics. So we're coming now to the end of the trainings that are shared with the practitioner of initial capacity. So how these are built up to this peak of the four opponent powers is that a recognition of just what we've achieved with this rebirth, but that it's finite and its end could come at any time. And when it ends, I may well fall into the lower realms. So that those three sections are all presented, as all the topics are, with lots of reasons. So, for example, reasons why this life is so precious, reasons why this life will definitely end, and the time and the manner is completely unknown. So that was presented on reasons, as well as then reasons were presented why the lower realms are so horrendous, why they need to be avoided at any cost. Because by reflecting, based on reasons, one can come to make a firm decision, not a mere acceptance, which is nothing more than an expression of words, but to come to firm decisions within oneself. And then we come to this presentation of cause and effect. Now we recognize the reasons that I actually should fear the potential of falling into the lower realms, the reasons why I need to go for refuge, is because I have created these causes. I have engaged in so many of these non-virtues, and my cultivation of the 10 virtues is quite weak. So I am really, truly in a precarious situation. And this then, using reasoning in this way, spurs us to bring about change. And a key part of that change then is, I need to take care of the non-virtue that's abiding on my continuum, and I need to ensure I don't add to it anymore. And that's where the culmination of all these trainings, from precious human rebirth through to death and impermanence, the lower realms, refuge, and our karma, comes up to this point, where the Dharma is to serve the purpose of changing our way of thinking and thereby a way of speaking and acting, physically acting. And when we have generate sincere regret, I do not want to suffer because of this kind of behavior, we will want to bring about the change. And then the Dharma is arising within, because it is leading to a change within us. Our Dharma knowledge then will not just be a mere accumulation of knowledge, but it will have an impact on who we are. It will change who we are. So in this way, these four opponent powers come to have great strength when it's done with the basis of all this reflection, which can be done in your own meditations. In this way, even in what remains of this life, we can bring about a change in our spiritual trajectory. We can transform the future flow of lives by turning away from non-virtue and embracing virtue. The Pranam power we started with tonight and therefore concluded with last time, the power of turning away from further faults, most commonly translated as the power of restraint, also the power of promise. This is the mind of ethical restraint, where one restrains one's mind and thereby one's speech and physical behavior within the confines of what is ethical. So this opponent power, the power of turning away from faults, is the mind of ethical restraint. Then returning to the text, the Victor said that in general, there are various ways for beginners to purify bad actions, though the fully complete antidote is the four powers operating together. So the Victor or Buddha Shakyamuni taught many ways for beginners to purify. So one can recite Vajrasattva mantras or Mani mantras, one can make tattas or engage in prostrations, whatever it may be. But it's imperative one does so with the four opponent powers operating together. One engages in a virtuous activity such as prostrations. One may well do so hearing, oh, prostrations are very good to purify. And one engages in prostrations and maybe does many. But if one does not actually do prostrations within the being held by these four opponent powers, one will certainly accumulate merit, but one's purification will be minor. Whereas if one generates the four opponent powers and does purification as part of the four purification, the four opponent powers, then one will purify a great deal. So therefore, whatever virtuous activity one does, if one does so absent of the four opponent powers, one will accumulate some merit. But if one does so with the four opponent powers, one will accumulate merit and purify significantly. Then we come to another larger outline, the manner of purification, or how purification works. So the manner of purification. The manner in which bad actions can be purified is as follows. The causes for the arising of great suffering in the lower rebirths are transformed into causes for the arising of minor suffering. Or, if one is reborn in the lower realms, one does not experience their sufferings. Or, having been purified, they result in a mere headache in one's present life. Likewise, something that would need to be experienced for a long time is transformed into something of short duration or that does not need to be experienced at all.
Reading it again.
The manner in which bad actions can be purified, so this would be by means of the four opponent powers, is as follows. The causes for arising of great suffering in the lower rebirths, so for example, if one has purifying non-virtuous imprints that have the strength to propel a rebirth into, say, the hell realm, suffering in the lower rebirths are transformed into causes for the arising of minor suffering. So through the purification, that powerful karmic imprint is reduced in strength. So instead of resulting in being in a rebirth in the hells, for example, one is reborn as an animal. So whilst one will still suffer, one is lost in the confusion of the body and mind of an animal, one is at least spared the intense suffering of the lower realms. So this then is an outcome of purifying by means of the four opponent powers. So one is still reborn in the lower realm, but the severity of the suffering is greatly reduced.
但你那个车的呀嘛，车个有些地，人家去年把结尾的。 되는 딜은 누구 총 좋아라 신야데 제가 되는 게 딜로 차고로 제가 빈에 빼지 디고 누가 침 용고에 디고 사셔면은 님보도 피고네 샤르디 엘리 대시 포보가 제가 마셔와나 차르고래 안 딜에 대한 검진 마 냠내지데 지 검지 고 차르디 딜은 누구 총다 디나신다 두시네 라지에 누구 총총술 당고로와 곧 매와 서신의 균에 난 라지야 균에 매라와 디로 차고로 난 빼디나시리
If we take an illustration, let's say one has a large glass, like a beer glass, but it's full of spirits, say full of whiskey. If one was to drink that, one's likely to get very intoxicated. But if one were to throw out, say, half the whiskey and fill the glass, the half of the glass now with water, so there's only half whiskey, half water, and one was to drink that, then the amount of alcohol that could intoxicate you is greatly reduced. But if you throw out almost all the water, almost all of the whiskey, so there's only just a tot left in this beer glass, and then one fills it up now with water and drinks the whole thing, the amount of alcohol in there that can lead to your intoxication is greatly reduced. So this is similar. Well, likewise, if one has a type of food that one is allergic to, and one eats a lot of it, or just a little, or an insignificant amount, the result that follows will also be greatly different.
Dene ngandrele kye yangs, ngandrele kye vayne, dene dunga nyom mugwa yungures, ma nyom yungures, ngandrele kye naya, ngandrele kye dunga nyom mugwa yungures, nyom mugwa yungures.
So we have one first option. Our second option, if one is reborn in the lower realms, one does not experience their sufferings. So one here, like in the previous possibility, one is still reborn in a lower realm, but the suffering of that particular realm is just not experienced. The third possibility, and again this follows purification, having been purified, they result in a mere headache in one's present life. So the first two possibilities, one ends up being reborn in the lower realms, but here there's the possibility that through one's purification, one is not even born in the lower realms, whereas that was a likelihood before. But now, the suffering, that non-virtuous imprint, is experienced in a minor way in this life, such as a headache or a cold, something like that.
Further
possibilities. Likewise, something that would need to be experienced for a long time is transformed into something of short duration. So again, we see a potential result of purification, that instead of an immense a period of time that one suffers, it's that due to the purification, the suffering ends very quickly.
And furthermore,
can either be the duration can be greatly reduced or does not need to be experienced at all. So thereby we see here, and this fourth possibility, that through purification, the result can either be less intense or for a shorter duration, or can be reduced to insignificance. In terms of the manner of purification, we see that independence on purifying, we can transform the result that is to be experienced, and we can transform it radically. So we can either take really powerful non-virtuous imprints, and that when the result is experienced, one may still fall to a lower realm, but either it will be a lower realm where the suffering is far less intense, or one is in the same realm, but the suffering just isn't experienced in that realm. Or that the suffering is, the way it is experienced is really minor or insignificant. In fact, it's experienced in this life, not even in a lower realm. Or the duration is greatly reduced from being something, a significant length of time to a brief length of time. So there we see, we may either experience suffering in the lower realms in a far more minor way, or not fall to the lower realms at all and experience it in this life as something relatively minor, or the duration and the strength can be greatly, greatly reduced. So this all comes about through making effort with purification. And purification is something that we all need to do because we all have non-virtue on our continuum. So tonight we concluded looking at the four opponent powers, as well as started to look at the effect or the transformation of our lives that followed from engaging in purification. Now, I went through a meditation on the four opponent powers, so I really encourage you to take this meditation up, and then we'll continue from here, from the same place, tomorrow morning. And thank you very much. Cameron?
When we see, when we consider our past actions that we've done in previous lives that we do not remember, in order to generate a strong sense of regret, does it make sense to look at the misdeeds that we see others are committing? Mm-hmm. We're not committing those misdeeds ourselves, but see them and actually do a purification for ourselves based on what we see. Mm-hmm. Is that a logical thing? Because we see a lot of misdeeds going on. We don't do
so when we take into account that across lifetimes we will have engaged in non-virtue that's abiding on our continuum, and the kind of non-virtue we couldn't imagine doing, but in likelihood we have done so. So when we see people doing awful things in the world, we can take that as a reminder of what we may well have done and those imprints that may well exist on our continuum, and use that as inspiration for our purification.
Or regret.
Yeah, for regret.
Okay.
Well, this is really very good. And because this is a skillful way to both not criticize others, because you're recognizing I'm likely to have done this myself. I'm not so much better. And I have those imprints, and I'm going to purify in the way described. So, yes, that's very good.